Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
Today, we are on Ridiculous Faith, week 11. Week 11. Now, I thought it was cool because I'm a little corny, but I thought it was cool that we're kind of preaching out of Hebrews chapter 11, and now we're on week 11 of this series. And as we continue our series today on Ridiculous Faith, I hope that you can look back on the past 10 weeks, and hopefully you can say, man, I've learned some new things about faith. I've learned some things about faith, what it is, what it does, how to live and how to walk by it. Because I personally feel that way myself, because before I ever preach to any of you guys out here or anywhere else that I go, I preach to me. Amen? What does that mean? It means before I ever bring the word I feel like the Lord has given me or directs me to give from a pulpit, whether it's here or whether it'll be all about Jesus or Sugar Valley Baptist or anywhere else, as I study, as I make notes, as I preach these sermons, before I ever preach them from the pulpit, I actually preach them to myself. And there are plenty of times that I have my own personal altar calls and repent right there in my house, right? Because guess what? Pastor Andrew hasn't made it there yet. Pastor Reed or Pastor Justin, Pastor Julie, Pastor Amanda, we haven't just made it there yet. We're still a work in process, amen? We're still learning, we're still all growing with all of you, and the beauty of it is that we get to all do it together, amen? It reminds me of Pastor Reed's song. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week. Is anybody going to join me? I'm not singing a solo. It took him just a week. Jupiter and Mars. He's still working on me. There we go. All right. We might need to start a choir. So with 10 weeks worth of material on ridiculous faith and some of the attributes that faith has, I hope that we can all look back on it and say, I've learned some things about faith. And I hope that it is causing us to raise the bar in our own lives, right? What is raise the bar? That is the word that we feel like the Lord gave us at the beginning of this year, raise the bar. Bar is an acronym, stands for believe, act, and receive. So as we're learning and walking by faith, we're raising the bar in our lives, and we're believing, we're acting upon what we believe in our faith, and we're receiving all that God has for us in our lives. Amen? Now, as we've been covering faith each week in this series, each week I try to tell you a reference in our portion of Scripture of what faith does in that portion of Scripture, what faith does. So I want to give you a quick review of what we've seen faith do over the past several weeks and what it should do in our lives, okay? In week one, we learned through the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 11 that faith knows and faith hopes. Then we get to our first example in Hebrews 11, that was Abel, and we saw that faith brings us into relationship with God, and faith worships God as God. Then we saw Enoch, right? And we saw that through Enoch, faith walks. It is something that is walked and lived out day by day. We got to verse 6 in Hebrews 11, and we saw that without faith, it is impossible to please God. That faith without works is dead, but also works without faith is dead. Amen? Okay? Then we see that not only is God good, but he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Right? Through Noah, we saw that faith works in more ways than one. Right? Noah had to build the ark. Right? God said, hey, a flood's coming, but there is something you got to do. You got to put your hands to the plow. You got to do your part. So somebody say, faith works. Faith works. Through Abraham, we saw that faith obeys and faith moves. Even when we feel lost and maybe we don't know where we're going, faith still obeys and faith still moves. Through Sarah, we saw that faith strengthens and faith gives and brings forth new life. Even in impossible situations, you want to talk about an impossible situation? You got 90 years old having a baby, right? God moved, right? He brought forth life. In verses 13 through 16, we saw that faith seeks and faith desires, and it desires God above everything this world has to offer, okay? In verses 17 through 19, we saw through Abraham and Isaac that faith is tested and that faith trusts God through the test, okay? Through Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, we saw that faith is prophetic. That is our faith that helps us get through the here and nows in our life, whatever we may be facing right here and right now, whether that's good or whether that's bad. But then faith also gives us hope for the future. And then last week in verses 24 through 29, we looked at the life of Moses and we saw that faith is courageous. Amen? Now, that's a lot. It's 10 weeks worth, but that gets us where we need to be today here this morning. Now, I mentioned this already, but today is Palm Sunday. And we know that Palm Sunday is the Sunday 1 week right before Jesus' resurrection, right? And so for centuries now, the church has memorialized today, the first day is the first day of Holy Week. And we call it Palm Sunday. Why do we call it Palm Sunday? This is due to the fact of what the people did as Jesus made his way into Jerusalem, known as his triumphant entry, right? Over 2,000 years ago, on this day, Palm Sunday, Jesus had left a city called Jericho, right? And he was making his way to Jerusalem. There was a Passover feast that was getting ready to take place, and there were Jewish people from all over the world that were migrating back to Jerusalem, the holy city, to gather at the temple of God and to celebrate and to commemorate the great deliverance that God had brought to the Hebrew people when he brought them out of Egypt. He brought them out of slavery. He brought them out of bondage. He brought them out from under the control of Pharaoh. And now Jesus himself with his disciples, they're making their way towards the city. And as we read the Gospels, right, it tells us that as Jesus made his way towards the city on the back of a donkey, thank you, sir, that there was a crowd of people that were gathering, right? And as he made his way, this sort of royal carpet was being sewn together and laid out in front of him. There were fresh green palm tree branches that the people were waving, right? And they were most likely picked from nearby palm trees. And then there were thick, worn coats and clothing that people were taking off their backs from the crowd, and they were laying these down in front of him as he made his way on the street to the city. And this carpet was being put together and rolled out for Israel's long-awaited Messiah. And the Gospel of Luke tells us that as Jesus entered into Jerusalem, the people began rejoicing, they began praising, and with a loud voice, this is what it says, with a loud voice, they were shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Now that must have been a wonderful sight to behold. And I can preach you a good old Palm Sunday message just because it's Palm Sunday, but I really felt led to continue in our Ridiculous Faith series, as I said earlier. But what I find interesting is that in today's scripture from Hebrews 11, it's actually we're going to talk about the walls of Jericho and how those walls came down. They came falling down with a shout and a praise, right? And at Jesus' triumphant entry on Palm Sunday, as he made his way from Jericho to Jerusalem, and the people were welcoming him with a shout, what was happening was the walls from the old covenant were beginning to fall and the new covenant were getting ready to take place, right? And there would be a veil that was torn at his death on the cross, right? And because of that, and because of the blood, and because of the sacrifice, and because of the resurrection of Jesus, we ourselves would be able to enter into the Holy of Holies and boldly approach the throne of grace. And that's worth a shout right there. Amen? Right? So if you haven't already turned there, turn to Hebrews 11. And if you want to, you can mark the book of Joshua. And we're going to read several verses from Joshua today. And we're just going to read two verses from Hebrews 11, verses 30 and 31. But as we get set to read, this is what I want you to see and know about faith in our text today. I'm going to go ahead. I got 4 points. I'm going to give them all to you at once, and I'll break them down as we go. Number one is this: faith brings peace. Faith brings peace. Number two is this: faith saves, right? All right, we're saved by grace through faith, okay? Faith brings peace, faith saves. Number three, faith waits patiently, right? We can wait impatiently, but faith waits patiently, okay? And number four is faith brings forth praise. So let's read our text, Hebrews 11, 30 through 31. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And so we're going to talk about Rahab first. Okay, verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And so this is what we know. Both of the stories that are referenced here in Hebrews 11, verses 30 and 31, they're found in the book of Joshua. And these stories are intertwined with one another. Moses, who we talked about last week, he's the beloved pastor and the leader of the Israelites, the one who under the direction and under the anointing of God, he led his people out of Egypt. And now they're at the border of the promised land, and Moses has passed. And Joshua was chosen by God to be Moses' successor, and now he stepped into that leadership role for the Israelites. Okay? And Joshua and the Israelites are so close to the promised land right now, they can almost literally taste the fruit of it, right? Okay? The only thing that is separating the Israelites and Joshua from the promised land is the flooded River Jordan. And as they set up camp on the riverbanks across the waters of the River Jordan, on the opposite side of the river is the city of Jericho. And Jericho was this large fortified city with what seemed like impenetrable walls. They were famous for their walls. No one could get in, get out unless the king said so in Jericho, right? If they shut up the walls, you wasn't getting in. You wasn't getting out. They were famous for their impenetrable walls. So as they're on the other side of the river, Joshua sends two spies to view out the promised land and actually to spy out in Jericho. So Joshua chapter 2 gives us the account of the two spies. It says, as they come into Jericho, that they lodged at a harlot's house named Rahab. Now, I don't think I need to explain to everyone here this morning what a harlot is. I think we got that, amen? Right? Now, we don't know how the king of Jericho and everyone found out, but somehow someone in Jericho found out that there were spies from the Israelites inside the city, and the word got to the king of Jericho. And the king of Jericho, he looked to put an end to the spying, right? They ain't going to send spies up in here. So he sends out soldiers searching for the spies in the city and at Rahab's house. But Rahab, it tells us, had taken the spies, and she put them on the roof of her house, and she had hid them under some flax stalks, which were really just large bundles of plants that looked like bundles of wheat. Right, so they're hiding under these flax stalks on top of a roof, And when the soldiers come a-knocking, she tells them, hey, the men were here, but they've already gone. They've left the city. And so the soldiers pursued. They go out looking for them. Now, the question we need to ask right here is, why would a citizen of Jericho, okay, a citizen of Jericho, Rahab was a citizen of Jericho, a woman of the night, so to speak, right? Why would she hide what was considered to be her enemies and welcome them into her home in peace? And the answer is given to us in Joshua 2, verses 8 through 11. Joshua chapter 2, 8 through 11. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, she said this to the spies, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard, oh, come on now, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. We've heard what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. Why? For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven, above, and on earth beneath. So this is what Rahab says. She says, hey, look, fellas, your God's reputation, it precedes him, right? We have heard of all the great things he has done for his people. And we know that if God be for you, who or what could stand against you? And in verse 11, Rahab actually makes this declaration of faith. She says, for the Lord your God, he is the God in heaven above, and he is the God on earth beneath. And I believe at the moment that Rahab made that declaration of faith, I believe it's very similar to that declaration that Peter made, right? When Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? And Peter spoke up, he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon that declaration of faith in Rahab, right, he's the God of the heavens and he's the God of the earth. I believe with all my heart that Rahab was saved. She declared it by faith. And there was peace between her and God. And because of that, there was peace between her and God's people. Faith brings peace because faith involves the Prince of Peace, right? And so these spies, they tell Rahab, they're like, listen, when we come back, because we are coming back, because God has promised this land to us. When we come back, make sure that this scarlet thread, they give her a scarlet thread. They said, make sure this is hanging outside of your window, and you and your household, they'll be saved. Y'all gonna have to excuse me. I've mentioned this before in this series and multiple times from this pulpit. But I just love how throughout the entire Old Testament, you can find it pointing to Jesus and the atoning blood that he would shed and has shed, right? Because this is exactly what that scarlet cloth represented and what it foreshadowed. Just as the blood was placed outside on the doorpost at Passover, so was this scarlet thread placed on the outside of the window, and it served as a faith proclamation of the coming Messiah and his finished work on the cross. It declared faith in God's way. It declared faith in God's promises. It declared faith in Jesus, okay? And so it brought peace and it brought salvation to Rahab and to her house. So faith brings peace and faith saves. So the spies return to Joshua unscathed, unharmed. And in Joshua chapters 3, 4, and 5, we're given the account of Joshua and the children of Israel as they cross over the River Jordan, okay? It says that the Ark of the Covenant, it went before the people on the shoulders of the priest. And as the priest walked towards the water, I just love this part of the story. The waters never split until it says the priests were walking towards this flooded river that was moving swiftly, right? And it didn't part until their feet touched the brim of the water. And sometimes we got to walk. We got to walk by faith, right? The Lord's saying, hey, I'm going to split the water. They're getting closer and closer to the water, right? Water ain't split yet. My feet's getting wet. Sometimes you got to get your feet a little wet. Amen? But as they got their feet wet, the water split, and they walk across on dry ground. Joshua chapter 5, verse 1 says this. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord dried up the waters of Jordan before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. So God had fulfilled a centuries-old promise and brought the Hebrew people into the promised land. Listen, he had for 40 years, he had been feeding them manna from heaven. Literally, in the wilderness, manna from heaven, bread from heaven, right? The manna from heaven that they had been provided for them for 40 years in the wilderness, it says, had ceased. Why? Because in verse 12, it says, they began to eat the fruit of the land, right? God had brought his people over and through every obstacle that they had, and anything that would come up and try to stop them or prevent them from getting to the promised land, God saw them through. And so now they are in the promised land, and they're told to possess it, right? But all of a sudden, there seems to be another obstacle in the way again. It was the walls of Jericho. All right, we got past, we've been through the wilderness. We've crossed it. We got out of Egypt, the fiery furnace, right? That's what it's called. It was called the iron furnace in Egypt, right? You brought us out of that. You brought us that. You split the Red Sea. You provided for us water in the wilderness, bread, all these miracles, signs, and wonders. We get to the River Jordan. We finally made it to the promised land. Praise the Lord. We've made it. But, oh, wait. Here's the walls of Jericho. Does that sound familiar to anybody? You get one breakthrough. You get over one hurdle, right? You get one step closer to what seems like smooth sailing, and then, boop, something else happens. Something else is going wrong. There's another wall that's standing in the way. Let's read Joshua 6, 1 through 5. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people will shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, every man straight before him. So this is basically what God has told them. I want you to march on Jericho, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to take the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God, and I want you to get 7 priests, and I want you to give them 7 ram's horns, trumpets, and I want you to get your men of war, and I want you to get your people together. And on day 1, I want you to go and I want you to march around the city walls. I just want you to march around the city walls. The priests are going to blow the trumpets. But this is what I want. I want the people to remain silent at that time. I want you to go around it one time on day 1. And when you complete that circle around the walls, I want you to go back to camp, And then I want you the next day, repeat that process for 6 days. Okay? Gave him direct instructions. Pure, simple, understandable. Now, I want you to get something. They were told not to say a word or even make a sound besides the trumpets. Not say a word or make a sound while marching those first 6 days. Now, let me tell you something. There are times that God will tell you to keep your mouth shut. Right? There'll be times that he says, you keep your mouth shut. Oh, how good it would be if we could all learn a little bit better to embrace the harnessing of the Lord when he is saying, stay silent. Stay silent. Sometimes our mouths get us in more trouble than we should ever have been in. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 talks about different times and seasons in our life. It says sometimes there's a time to speak and there's a time to remain silent. The problem for a lot of us is when we are speaking when God has told us you need to be quiet. Just to be still and know that he's God and he'll work it out for you. To trust him and to wait, but we want to go, bleep, 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 bleep. Did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? Oh, and then we complain. I thought you said you were going to bring us in the promised land. You never told me there was going to be a wall there standing in the way. Right? So God goes on to say, he says, be quiet for 6 days, but on the seventh day, I want you to march around the walls seven times. Seven times. And on the seventh go-round, tell the priests who have the trumpets to give a long, loud blast on those trumpets. And at that moment, when that long, loud blast happens, tell the people to shout to the Lord. Give God a shout of praise as loud as they can. And if you do this, the walls are going to come down. And you'll be able to take the city of Jericho. So this is what they did. They walked and they waited. They walked and they waited. They circled Jericho once a day for 6 days, really probably wondering how God would just bring those walls down. How would they fall down flat, right? And this is where I want to tell you that faith waits patiently, right? Now, the temptation of impatience, I'm sure, was there for some of those as they walked around the city walls silently, right? You can imagine some of them thinking, why doesn't he just knock the walls down already, right? He could do it right now. Why 6 days of this, of just being, you know, this is in their head, right? Why 6 days of this and not even making a sound? Why 4 more days of this? This don't even make sense, God. We got to do this 4 more days? 3 more days? 2 more days? We got to do this another day? I can't even say a word. There's a lot I want to say. They're yelling at me from the wall. I want to say something back to them. Does that sound familiar? Right? God had told them how their victory would happen, but 7 days probably began to feel a lot more like 7 years. All the while, they were walking and waiting. Walking and waiting. Walking and waiting some more. Now, if you've walked with Jesus for any time at all, you've probably felt what some of them were feeling and thinking while walking and waiting, right? You kind of have a hope in God's promises, but it's mixed with some rising impatience about his timing. Come on. You have an awareness of God and his almightiness, his bigness, and his wisdom, but there's this lingering suspicion in your own heart and mind that you know better than he does. I could do this, right? Right? There's a genuine faith that I know God will see me through in the end. But there is the persistent question in your mind, how much longer? just how are you going to do this? How much longer I got to wait? But can I tell you that faith waits? Faith waits. So what happened? Exactly what God said would happen. All right? On the seventh day, just as he said he would do, God turned their waiting into prevailing. They marched around those same walls seven times on that seventh day. And just as they were told, the people shouted and the trumpets were blown and the walls come falling down flat. So the people went into the city and they captured the city of Jericho. And the only ones in Jericho who were saved and had peace during a time of war were Rahab and her household. Listen, there's a time to be silent. But let me tell you something else. There's also a time to open up your mouth and let the praises of God ring out. Right? Right? Faith saves. Faith brings peace. Faith waits. And faith brings forth praise. Listen, this thing happened exactly like God said it would. And yet, it probably surprised a lot of them. Right? This generation of Israelites, they had not seen the plagues in Egypt. They'd not seen that. They had not watched Moses split the Red Sea. They had not witnessed God wipe out Pharaoh's army. They just did walk across the Jordan River on dry ground, and they had battles of their own, but nothing like this. They had not watched fortified walls fall at the sound of their voice raised in praise to their God, right? But this day, right before their very eyes, at the sound of their praise, God tore down the defenses, overwhelmed their enemies, and gave them the city, right? This is my question to you today. Meta, you can get ready to come. What walls do you want to see come down? What walls in your life do you want to see come down? It might be a difficult or a broken relationship with a family member or a friend. It might be the battle against an habitual sin. It might be addiction. I want to tell you this. When I was in worship over here today, as we were singing, "You Are Holy," I felt like the Lord said, because I knew what I was preaching today, I felt like he said the walls of addiction are going to come down in the house today. Walls of addiction, right? So it could be walls of addiction. It might be fear, worry, anxiety, or depression. It might be walls of sickness in your physical body, or maybe it's emotionally or mentally, right? It might be impatience, walls of impatience. It could be anything that is standing in the way of your promise. But this is what you've done. You've walked and you've waited and you've prayed. And you've walked and you've waited and you've prayed some more. And you've walked and you've waited and you've prayed. And yet it seems like the walls still stand before you, tall and strong, tempting you to feel small, tempting you to feel forgotten. But what has God said to us? Romans 8, 31 and 32. If God is for us, who can be against us, right? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? This is what I want you to know this morning. Your battle has already been won. Your God will never leave you. Your God will never forsake you. One day, he will give you everything he's promised you, and everything else will fail and pale in comparison to having him. Right? And every wall you've ever faced is going to seem so small. It's going to seem small. But listen to me. While we wait for God to knock down every last wall, the enemy will tempt us to set our hearts on other things. Right? But never forget this. He did not spare his own son for you. For you. Never forget that he has promised you all things in eternity with him. Never forget the mountains He's already moved in your life. Never forget the walls He's already brought down in your life. Never forget that if He did it once, He can do it again. Listen, over 2,000 years ago on this Sunday, Palm Sunday, the people were shouting as Jesus made His way into a place, the city of Jerusalem, right? They were shouting in a place where they had gathered, and just 1 week later on that same day, He would rise from the dead. Resurrection power. Close to over 3,500 years ago, the children of Israel were shouting as they gathered around the walls of Jericho, and those walls came tumbling down. I just wonder what might happen. Hear me. What might happen if we in this place where we are gathered would begin to let out a roar and a shout of praise? What miracles you might see take place in your life? What walls might begin to fall in your life? I wish I had somebody to get on their feet and testify that the walls are coming down. Somebody let out a shout of praise. Come on, let out a shout of praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Listen to me. Faith saves. Faith saves. So here's my altar call, okay, y'all? I'm not asking people to bow your heads, close your eyes. I just want you to look at me. We're going to keep it real. Faith saves. If you don't know that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are saved this morning and that the blood of Jesus has been applied to your heart and your life, you can know that before you go today. What do you do? Same thing Rahab did. She made a declaration of faith from her mouth, but she first believed it in her heart. Romans 10:9, right? It's our salvation scripture here. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess the Lord Jesus, that means if you confess Him as the Lord of your life, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. That was a declaration that Rahab made, and she was saved. Her and her household had peace, and they had salvation. You can have that beyond a shadow of doubt today, right? Number two is faith brings peace. Maybe you need peace in certain situations in your life, no matter what it is, whether it's emotional, mental, relational, I don't know. You just need peace. I'm going to tell you something. He can give you peace today. He is the Prince of Peace. He'll give you peace that passes all understanding. He'll give you peace that protects and guards your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So you can have peace this morning, right? Faith waits, right? Maybe you find yourself in a waiting period on God, and you need strength, and you need help with that patience. I have to say all the time, Amanda can testify to this, I need God's help with patience, right? We'll be waiting at a Cracker Barrel. I'm like, why won't they give us a table? She'll say, patience. I want to say, get thee behind me, Satan, but I know that ain't the truth. She's just speaking the truth to me, right? I need help with patience sometimes. So I have to pray, okay, Holy Spirit, give me patience. Help me wait patiently. Give me that fruit, right? All right, but if you need patience in an area of your life, maybe you're just fed up, you're impatient with your family, your kids, whatever it is, your job, you've just grown impatient. He wants to give you patience in that area again today. Impatience is not a God. Patience is, okay? Right, faith brings forth praise. This is what I want you to know. I feel like the Lord told me this. Some of y'all, it's been a quiet season in your life. And it's been an ordained season for you just to be silent and receive, right? But the Lord says, some of y'all, it's past time for your silence, right? It's past time for your silence to end. And it's time for you to let out a praise in faith and let it break out from the depths of your heart and your spirit. And as you do, genuinely trust in God, you're going to see those walls fall, right? There's going to be walls. I feel like the Lord spoke it directly to me. Walls of addiction are falling in this place this morning. You know, what I find incredible is I just picture the city of Jericho, and it says, God says, as you let out the praise, what he told Joshua was, the walls will fall down flat. It says they'll fall down flat. So I picture this. You see the walls in this room. And as they shouted, those walls fell down flat. Flat. They just come apart at the seam and went, whoop. And God said, the city's yours. Can you imagine that happening in a spiritual sense in your heart, your life, your mind? That thing that's been tormenting you, that thing you seem to can't get rid of. Silently, you've been dealing with it. But the Lord says, hey, this morning, as you let out a shout of praise, he said he's seen you warring with it. See, the Lord knows our heart. He sees our struggles, and he's not put off by our struggles. He's like, listen, I know you can't do it without me. Now it's time to shout. Watch the walls come down. I'm about to give you victory over that thing. If you need victory in any area, faith saves. Faith brings peace. Faith waits. Faith brings forth praise, right? Any area. Maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's fear, worry, anxiety. Anything I've mentioned. This is what we're going to get ready to do. They're going to begin to play and sing. I want you to come up here, right? And then I want you to get ready to see some walls fall. Right? So as they begin to sing, if the Lord spoke to you and you know the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, come forward. I don't care if we pack this altar up, we got aisles, all right? Come forward. Let's watch walls fall.
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.